Need some lights out in that parking lot.
Yes, we should make a note of that. Okay, all right, so I'll open our meeting.
I thought they were going to develop that parking.
Oh, but I think that's also right. Yeah.
So.
Yes, I did do the agenda. So we're opening the planning commission meeting. The date is September 26th, and we're starting at 7:34. And in attendance, Vincent Foy, Kate Whitehead,
yes.
And Judy Corso, and Allison S. Pappy. And I have an agenda to pass around for everybody to keep that here. You've got it. Okay. And then, if there's any changes, let me know. I'll also, while we're looking, pass around June meeting minutes that Kate had brought. Yep. And then we also have the unapproved August minutes.
Okay.
You had those. Okay, gotcha. And I'll pass those to you guys here. Yeah, so any changes to the agenda? What's that? I plugged in public comment a few times because I wasn't sure if and when people were going to show up, so I figured we'll get it covered.
Yeah, right. Just keep it on there.
Just keep it open, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so no changes to the agenda, so we'll move forward then. And then we should review, obviously, our meeting, our unapproved meeting minutes. So we've got June. Making sure that's recording. Okay. Looks pretty straightforward to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you prefer to have motions? I mean, you can.
Yeah, either which way. We could do consensus or motion either way. Do we all agree that we will accept the June 27th, 2024 meeting minutes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
All in agreement. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So that's good to go. And then we have our August notes. Right.
I'm fine with those also.
Okay.
We have
another. Oh, perfect. No, we just began. Nice to see you. We'll get you a chair.
Last guest.
Oh, nice.
Everybody's arriving.
Oh, everyone's coming in. Oh, that's awesome. Oh. Well, thank you for coming. With all the whirlwind, that's awesome. Thanks, Bob. We just went through, and I don't know if you want to take a picture or not, but we just said we were going to move forward with the agenda as is.
Yeah.
And then we just accepted the all agreed to the June meeting minutes. Yep, from Kate. And then we were just looking at the August minutes.
Have I got the June meeting?
Right here you do.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Okay.
And then just looking at the August minutes.
Which was the one that was a complicated one?
I think that was last month. We talked this
August. The August one. We kind of went all over the place with the farming piece and trying to, but we figured it out. We got it. Okay. Yep. So we have a copy of our draft proposal for the zoning bylaw.
Yeah, good.
But yeah, I think I hit the key things in the minutes, but let me know if you see something awry.
Thank you for writing the minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, gosh. You should see who's doing that for today. I'd love a break. I'm sure you'd love a break. Listen to me. I've done it two times. I've done it for years.
Well, all of us.
We should probably figure that out once we see what we think about August.
So, in the discussion about the goals and plans, that's on tonight's.
Yes, yeah, we've got that after, exactly. Yeah. So what do we think about the August minutes?
I move that we approve them.
I'm good with them.
Yep, me too. All of us on board?
Agreed,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. So you are taking minutes?
Yeah.
Okay,
perfect. Yeah. I was in here, so.
Okay, yeah. Guys. I don't want to just assume. Oh, thank you for doing it. Thank you. Okay. All right, so that's that. We did our minutes. We're caught up on the minutes at this point. No one's here for public comment. So now our public hearing.
Have we had any written responses at all?
I didn't see anything. I probably should check the mailbox quick. But she left everything out for me, so I think we could.
Well, this is normal. I was expecting one individual.
It has to be really controversial to attract.
Well, there's one individual on the DRB who really likes to
contribute.
Contribute. I like that. Okay.
You were expecting maybe he would show?
Yeah, because of the zoning changes.
Right, right.
On the signs.
Oh, on that part of it. Okay, gotcha. But that's all moved forward and good, so.
Yeah. Well, and actually, after October 30th, I think the DRB approved it.
Mm-hmm, right.
The waiver.
Mm-hmm.
And that expires the end of October.
Yeah, and we're moving.
And if we accept this, there will be no need for any more action. If we didn't, we'd have to extend the waiver.
The waiver, right, right. So that's good that happened. Right. And Judy, you were going to say?
Oh, no, I just noticed on the agenda, public hearing for town plan and bylaw update proposals.
Just the bylaw update.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was totally not that, bad. Right? I was like, nope. Town plan already made it through the select board.
We did that.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That already went
through. We're all set. That's why I just wanted to mention it.
And the only thing I should say, whatever you guys have obviously, thrown out there on the bylaw update, but there is one thing that came up. Allison Lowe emailed me today in her acting role is with NVDA, the Regional Planning Commission. Yeah. She just had misread a word, so she thought there was a glitch. I just want to point it out to you guys. Yeah. Her and I sorted it through, but it was really just she made the it just changed the whole meaning of the sentence.
Oh.
So in the definitions, and I didn't pull it up because I figured we have this and we sort of all know what we've done here. But I can if you want me to.
Oh, in the bylaw.
Yeah, so in the bylaw, exactly. So accessory on-farm business. Okay, so she was concerned on this sentence here. The storage, preparation, processing, and sale of qualifying products, provided that the qualifying products are produced on a farm. So it's all good. She thought it said on the farm, so meaning like you couldn't have other people's maple syrup.
Different
or something.
Farm.
Yeah, so like you can have. So it was like a little bit of a re-glitch for her, and I worked it through, so it's all good. And then the only other thing I wanted to point out, and this is just a slight change that I need to make, as long as you guys are good with this and agree, in the Route 2 district, 513, is it? Yeah, Route 2 district, 513, it says farming. And I don't know if this was a place sense glitch or a me glitch, and I apologize, but I need to make it say what it says in every other district.
Yeah. Farming and accessory on farm.
Exactly,
business.
Exactly. Yeah. So as long as, so I would just make it say farming and accessory on farm business. Right. So then it would be that's the case in every district.
Right.
So I just wanted to run that by you guys and make sure you're all good with that little adjustment.
Yeah.
That's all set?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm good with it.
Perfect. Yeah. So that was everything that came from Allison. And otherwise, she was really happy with it and thought it all looked solid.
Good.
Yeah. So.
Just one question. Page 3, 101.4. Upon the adoption of this bylaw, the former town of Danville zoning bylaw last revised and readopted. And mine says May 6, 2021. But I thought somewhere we had one that was 2022.
Okay.
May 19th, 2022.
Okay, I can check that and confirm. That's probably true.
Because I think the first one I printed off is that date.
Okay, so that was the most recent then we're saying. Right. Okay, let me get myself a note here. So I'll double check, but you're saying you think you have it as May
19th,
2022. Okay. Yeah. All right, and then I'll do the Route 2 district adjustment. So just two little things.
Yeah.
Unless anything else you guys have seen.
Now the next step for the adoption of the zoning bylaws, select board.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they have to do their whole public hearing. I can pull it up on my
phone. You sent me that email.
With the list.
They gave it.
It's mapped out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll probably just go real quick. Obviously, anyone can go, but I'll probably just go and just say, you know, boom, here it is. And, you know,
yep.
I mean, Glenn's on there, so
yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, he's been involved.
Exactly. Exactly.
Almost.
Yeah. So, okay. So anything else on the bylaw update? And no one here for public comment, so I guess we're good to go there. And then the chair, vice chair discussion is coming up again. We do have four. But I did talk to Glenn. He said I actually could vote. And this was me just wanting to sort of nail down if someone was comfortable. I'm totally willing to do the chair. I don't mind doing this sort of the work unless somebody else wants it.
I would agree to be the vice chair through the end of December.
Okay.
And then I leave.
Okay. Yep. Wow. That's coming up.
Yeah. Train station, school,
you've been doing all the stuff. All of it, you're saying? You're done?
Because
next steps.
I'll be 80 next year, and my kids and grandkids have assignments for me.
That's awesome, 80. I did not know that, Rob.
This will be a real focus of my life.
Yeah, as it should be. That's awesome.
Cool.
That's really cool.
Shedding all your responsibilities. Yeah. All your
focus
talent.
On the kids.
All my life.
Look how happy he was.
I'm sure you have that.
Right?
Anyway.
That's awesome. Good. No, I'm glad to hear it. And thanks for all the time you put in. My gosh.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. It is.
And I dropped by the train station today.
Moving forward.
They're even putting up the drywall on the insulated part.
It'll really happen, and that's great.
Yeah.
Good. Yes. So anyway, if you could do the vice chair thing till December, that's awesome. If someone else wants to do
mainly
the chair.
Mainly to be in the meeting when you're not here.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And obviously.
So we're down one person right now.
Okay. David's still.
David.
Right?
And then we're down one. And
we're down
John.
One right now, though.
Yes. Yeah. John was interested. John McLong. Him and I emailed a bunch.
Oh, he's nice. He's
so
really
nice.
But
amazing.
But he was on the development review board,
mm-hmm.
and I found them very, very engaged.
Yeah, super kind.
Have very good observations,
mm-hmm.
and I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
So, who is that?
John McLaughlin.
Yeah, he lives on the Peachton Road. Before you get to Harvey's Hollow on the left, he has very neatly stacked firewood.
Mm-hmm.
Art, art.
That's a good step.
I don't want to obviously say he's definite, but he's been inquiring and wondering, and we've talked on the
typically
phone.
Typically, when somebody shows interest, it's a shoe.
Thank you. So we'll see about that, but hopefully, I'll keep talking to him. So, yeah, and anybody else, obviously, put it out there. It would be nice to have another, especially when Rob decides to leave us there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, moving forward, if no one else wants the chair thing, I don't mind doing this stuff if you guys are good with that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
Yeah. So
if you want to have a vote, then I would propose that we go ahead and do a unified vote.
Acclamation?
By acclamation, whatever you want to call it. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
For Allison is the chair and Rob is the vice chair, as long as he is serving.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we can vote.
Everybody in agreement?
Yes.
Yes. All good consensus.
Full consensus. Actually, when I run board meetings for Habitat, I always say, any objection?
Yep.
Without objection, yes, sir.
Any objection? Right. We've got consensus. Okay, good. So that's done. So we're working our way right through. My goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
This will be one of the shortest.
I know, I think so, compared to all the other stuff to sort through. And then goals, vision, schedule.
Well, I think
you guys have?
The items that we brought up in the August minutes
I think
are pretty important. And that is investigating
the reworking
the district. The zoning district.
Yeah.
And then housing.
Mm-hmm.
It's made. But with the Airbnbs, there's more and more of them all the time. and I'm just afraid of it removing the housing from the market for the those whose incomes are not awfully high, let's say. And if we could include a discussion of cluster housing and zoning bylaws that encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we have a lot of land in close to the core here that can be used for infill or whatever to bring in kind of cluster housing or low-income housing way too, you know, because we really need more of that to respond to. I mean, a lot of people like Danville,
mm-hmm.
but there's no place to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if we could encourage development of low income or
entry level,
low,
affordable, like entry level.
Because right now there's more construction in the outlying areas up here on development up here. There's a new place going in, and it's which is very well planned and very nice.
But it's probably
but
it's not entry level.
It's sprawling.
Oh, it is.
We need to.
Yeah.
But do you all agree with that idea?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It is one of infill. I went through the town plan, and every time it had a recommended action and said plan commission.
That's right, and there's a lot of those.
And it's in there. It says, by 2027, consider provisions to accommodate population growth in accordance with town goals. And they mentioned planned unit development, but certainly.
Well, I think that's what we use.
Cluster. That
it's kind of the same thing, although cluster is more geometric. It's more a definition of a planned unit development. You can have planned unit developments that aren't clustered.
Right. Okay. Well, they talk about it. Usually when they talk about PUDs, people think about condos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we necessarily need condos.
No, I don't think
that's necessarily a good fit. But,
I think affordable housing in the core area is really our goal, right?
And wasn't there some conversation, I think maybe Glenn had mentioned it to me, with some of the houses up around here that might be able to be reworked or somebody who is more elderly and living there, and do they want to live there and, you know, rent out the other spaces?
Well,
not that
I think there
was that, but
that, and it's addressed with the accessory dwelling units.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
And I think that's in the bylaws.
That is in the bylaws now, and
so
that does allow a lot of, that would allow.
The duplex sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I have 8.5 acres. I've got one daughter who wants to build an accessory dwelling unit up there.
Mm-hmm.
And this other daughter who eventually wants to build up there too.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have 3 dwellings on 8.5 acres.
Yeah.
And not incur subdivision of the property?
No. It's all, my goal is to have an LLC for the property, for the ground.
Okay.
The actual individual structures will belong to the unit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that fits the goal and the definition of the accessory dwelling unit. It's like an in-law.
Can they borrow money, though, from banks under those conditions?
I think that's a question, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I don't know.
As long as the LLC is set up properly.
Oh,
so
my
that
brother's going to, well, yeah.
I think you'd be good to
he
go.
He could probably manage. I know. But yes, they should be able to because they'll have some kind of a relationship with the land.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
Depending on how he sets it up, it's not.
Yes,
it's not.
Nice.
So that's what I'm thinking. Now that's unusual,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
It's better use of land.
Yes,
than dividing it up and having all the setbacks.
Right.
Between properties, you know, which encourage sprawl, really. The setbacks are the things that kind of encourage sprawl.
Mm-hmm.
when you have.
So would the land go with like the primary residence, or would it be owned under?
Well, my house would be primary.
Right, and so the land would be.
Yeah.
Under the LLC.
Right.
And then with the intention of that just staying in the family.
That a house would be under the LLC.
Okay.
You see, so yeah. That would be owned by the LLC.
Your house or the ones that
my house.
And your presumably house. your children, it's daughters or granddaughters?
Oh, daughters.
Daughters. They're going to have an interest in the LLC, right? Or
yes.
Be a member.
Yeah. Well, so actually, shareholders will be all my next generation.
Right.
So it goes right over.
So
perfect.
So even if they
it
have
provides
a
management
or not
for the whole property, yeah. And that's what the banks would be looking for. Is yeah. That there's
a plan in place there, nice.
So that's kind of what I'm planning.
Good.
And
I hope banks are flexible, because that seems to be kind of the sticking point, is they require, you know, subdivided units so they can repossess them and put them on the market.
Well, actually, Emily's got a house in Rutland, which is her first house that she bought. And she now has it completely insulated and everything else. And it will probably have a good gain, so she will probably have enough to build without much of a loan.
So she won't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Well, and when you're talking about accessory units, they're limited in size anyway.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I asked our zoning administrator. There's a state constraint in size. There's no constraint in size for Danville.
So does the
not
state
that
I found. Sort of trump that?
But
there is.
Find it.
Unless, did that just get plugged in probably?
But that's okay. But if you look at small houses, a little house,
mm-hmm.
Look at this one up the road here.
Yeah,
he's got one small house on wheels, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But he's adding sheds, he's adding, you know.
Right.
If you
getting
put them all together in one building, it wouldn't be a small house.
Right.
It's so funny.
So this
you
is
know,
the piece that I guess
the best intent.
I mean, are people all on the same page of moving forward with this sort of conversation
right.
for a future?
It's look under dwelling accessory,
yeah,
and it
right.
references the statute and talks about the 30% of total habitable floor area of the. So you can have it for 900
yeah,
square feet.
But I thought that I looked at. Oh, wait, this might be a new change because
well, I don't know.
The state's one is 900 square feet. When I asked him, he said Danville doesn't. Oh.
Well, but you can't look at just the. See, that's under the dwelling accessory as opposed to accessory dwelling.
Okay, let's look at accessory
don't ask
dwelling.
Why.
I know.
Because there's a blurb on accessory dwelling.
Because
right.
it seems like, okay, I'm just thinking for, like, next.
Right.
Because we're not going there fully now, but.
Structure.
So,
yeah,
I think we
I
all.
Don't see accessory dwelling here. Accessory dwelling.
Top, yeah.
Dwelling accessory.
You can figure that out.
Oh,
for what we're doing.
Judy, I think
so
you're
we,
right.
We all agree that.
I'm going to have that.
We need
that.
To.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
That.
We're looking at this.
The best
we want
plans of mice and men.
And if you look at their, on,
getting off
the there's
ride.
Also on the, you know, the state, in filling,
yeah.
it talks about that and shows it well. Anyway, but I don't want to get sidetracked.
No,
so,
exactly. Not right now.
Yeah, but we need to discuss it.
So
right.
We do. And that's one of, so that's on the list, definitely, of the.
The future
cluster housing infill / avoiding sprawl, and that sort of ties. There were some other things in here that I wasn't quite sure what we wanted to, what was important and what isn't.
That's why I was curious where you guys were landing with what your priorities were.
Well, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but
no. Oh, sorry.
Well, if you have something, I was just going to start.
Oh, go for it. I go
what's
for
in
it.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, it talks in here about the village center designation and whether we should keep it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea because I don't know anything about that.
Right.
Have you been through that at some point? Or
I think it's been a long time since.
Yeah,
since that's
a problem.
All right. Well, it's in here as something that by 2027. Mm-hmm. So obviously not.
Oh, is that in the plan?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. I just printed off
Glenn
the parts that have planning.
It'd be interesting to get his feedback on that. Yeah.
So on the village, West Anvil, North Anvil, mm-hmm. and Anvil Green, it says that that one of the things that we should be doing is review and revise zoning bylaws that apply to the village centers, including identifying areas of the town most suited to business development, don't adversely impact residential. And then, I guess all three of the village centers are state-designated village centers. Mm-hmm. That must be coming up. It says we have to decide whether they're going to keep it or let it lapse.
By 2027.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the opinions are on that. That's interesting.
I know it. You have it. There's a possibility of funding,
right?
Like tax credits.
I was wondering if that
is applicable. Also, for grant funding.
Okay.
Priority. So I mean, there is some.
Right.
There is benefit.
I think we should go back and visit that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good to hear. If there's benefit in that, I was
wondering to extend
for businesses.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And it's probably just some paperwork to extend it, right? Yeah.
Presumably.
Yep.
So that sounds like. I mean, obviously, it's not. We have till 2027.
But just to keep on the radar and make sure we do it.
Yeah.
And even if there's other feedback, you know, we could ask if there's others who have any feedback.
Are there any flood zones that are designated? Well, we have wetlands, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But are there any flood zones like Joe's Brook or things like that? Need to be revised.
Well, the river corridor thing, Allison Lowe was talking about, like, are we going to do, you know, the river corridor piece?
River corridor.
You know, so that would be something that we could look at some point. It's not required and necessary, although I think it does help from an insurance standpoint, like an insurance coverage if you do have that mapped out, which we don't have a ton of it, right?
Mm-hmm. There's like one area.
There's not
in town that's considered.
The state's in the process of.
They're trying to do the maps right now. Yeah.
Is that, you know what? I didn't hear that they were expanding anything in Anvil.
I don't think so.
Is it somewhere up in towards St. James?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's more.
Oh, the Roy Brooks thing?
It must be that.
Yeah, there's only like one kind of wetland
mm-hmm.
type of situation that would meet that. Everything else is, you know, just sluices of rivers. I mean, there's no real wetlands.
Right.
Well, did anyone see Tim McKay's article
I was reading it.
It makes me mindful of beaver dams.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. You know, and if there are any that would affect, of course, you know, it can't destroy beaver dams.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how interesting.
What we've just changed in things is for FEMA flood insurance program. Those are the changes that we've made, right? But we haven't done the river corridor one. Okay, so
and we're
that's
waiting
not
on the map. So as far I'm 99% sure that's not done. And I'm supposed to talk to Sacha at MVDA because I was going to show her what. Actually, I don't know if it's a him or her, but I'm going to show them what we have for the wetland piece because we just changed some stuff because of the zoning administrator.
Right.
And Allison and I were talking, we were like, we should just have Sacha take a peek at where we're at in case there's anything that legally needs to be changed. So that's on my list to do. So I'll report back on that next time. And then she'll know because I think we're waiting on some river corridor maps. To be able to move forward with
seems
some
like
of that,
we'll be so. More affected by river corridor designation, at least for buffers
mm-hmm.
along all the rivers.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll definitely report back on that. It's my intention to check in on that since what we just changed with some of the wetland buffers from Dennis. Yeah.
In the town plan, there was also under the historic resources, architecture, stuff like that. There was a task that I was going to pursue before the year, and I could even after that.
You wanted to register things, right?
Or inventory.
Yeah, we have a wonderful inventory done in 1990 of all the old buildings that we've been all over the back roads, every place. Hey, that needs to be brought to date, make sure that they exist still, you know. And then to investigate with the state director of historic preservation if there can be a classification grouping of, like, this one is unique and it needs to be preserved. Like this wonderful little old Greek revival house that was demolished down here and is being replaced by a black box that's incomplete construction. You know, I mean, it was a beautiful little Greek revival house, and that was built long ago to edify the managers or the laborers to make them feel more important. You know, and
are you still thinking of taking that on?
And,
yeah.
And to get, if he agreed, I think he's resigning, or someone else, to get classification so that when the zoning administrator gets any application for demolition or for adding on or whatever, that he can just look at those and say, oh, but that's the classification A. So therefore, you have to really preserve the basic architecture.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never even the historic sites and structures survey. It was done in 1982.
We want to look at it. Yeah, because there's a place for the planning commission.
Well,
I think it's the last one.
Right. Well, it also, I mean, it talks about establishing the level of hierarchical system.
Yes, right there.
But is that relating this?
And then, well, we've got this, you see. So we need to review that and confirm that all those buildings still exist. And then we meet with the state
to
go over it and to determine if they're going to.
But shouldn't even that be something this, even though the existing survey is from the 1980s, shouldn't the zoning officer know about told about that
list?
He only works one morning a week,
right,
for 3 hours.
He works for four towns
and he's pretty swamped.
Okay,
so I doubt that he's gonna.
Okay,
he's got the money to do it.
Yeah,
so that involves a volunteer to drive around and just confirm it. And I've got,
well, no, I didn't mean for him to do it. What I meant was
that he's aware,
and when he's approving.
He's reviewing
permit. Shouldn't he know that the house that they're about to tear down is on the survey?
And I don't know what legal rights as a town.
I don't know.
Well, but actually, I put this together after I spoke with him because of this building down the street here, and I asked him if he needs any tool that would give him strength to act on something like that.
Right.
And, what are
and
the
he
legalities
said, this is what he would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And does that give you teeth?
What?
Like, does that list, does an inventory give him actually?
Well, it's just an inventory. It's just a picture of the building, a description of the building.
Okay. Right. So maybe, like, make him think twice.
And there's nothing that evaluates if it's unique or if it ought to be saved or not.
Right.
And yet we know from buildings such as this one that...
The one on Hill Street on the left, is that what you're talking about?
The black box one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful little one.
I'm remembering that now.
Just like...
It's been under construction so long, it's like hard to...
It wasn't a fire or anything, was it?
No.
Okay.
He demolished it.
Gotcha.
But it may have been rotting into the ground, wasn't it?
Yeah, it may have been rotting. But still, there's things...
It's right next to a stream, and it's really low right here. So I suspect that...
But there are things you can do, architecturally.
Right.
Well, to at least honor the
history
of the Bible time.
Yeah.
And he built something completely, and the black and everything else is completely out of the design flavor.
Yeah.
So
that was the reason that I asked Dennis, if there's anything that we can do as the planning commission to revise the zoning bylaws. I said, well, first of all, you need to go over all of them, which are beautiful documents. If you have the chance, go over at the historical society.
The 1980s?
Yeah, this one right here. It's a big thing. Absolutely.
A description.
Is there more than one volume?
Well, it says it's 172 properties.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that.
That's a lot.
And it was all documented by the state.
Wow.
So then you're thinking, obviously, on a town level, if someone...
But there's probably a lot of the buildings that may not exist in
right.
40 years later.
Or you know. Yeah. 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 So that needs to be... That's the first step. And then to... meet with the state to see if there can be some classification. And if Danville's in the lead, or if there have been other communities that have done it, at least we'll get to know.
Right. I know you were talking about taking that project on at some point.
That's what I want to do. So the train station's done mid-November.
Nice.
We think.
Nice.
a habitat. Our last ward in the year. The school is pretty much dead from my involvement now. So that just leaves the planning commission.
Right.
So I might as well focus on planning.
Right. And that sounds like a cool project. Yeah. So, and just your style with the architecture. So, yeah. Okay. So we've got that on the list that Rob's thinking about.
And we got any other items?
Well, there are just that questions on, and this one I just don't understand. It says, it actually has in here about the making sure private roads are built with class 3.
Mm-hmm.
But it also,
well, just,
that's it.
Which
that's
we just done. Did.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. That's all
set. I got a little
nice
check
little
mark
check off.
It.
Exactly.
But it says by 2025, review classification of town roads and town maintenance responsibilities with the road foreman and recommend a level of service policy to the select board.
Mm.
I don't understand. Is that something the planning commission? I don't know.
I wouldn't imagine. I would think that's
seems more like a
the road
board.
And select board.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I don't
we
know.
We can
why
talk to Glenn about that one and just say, hey, by the way.
Maybe we revise that.
Yeah, that's going to be all about the road foreman anyway.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I didn't want, know why.
But
that
we don't have a lot of interaction with them. So
cost estimate to improvements, something in there.
Well, yes, it does. That the road foreman
yeah.
was supposed to develop rough maintenance and upgrade estimates
okay.
for bringing forward
right.
Following roads to class 3.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they. I mean, we wouldn't have anything about saying, oh, here's a class 4 that ought to be class 3. That's not something we would.
I think we'd have
they
to
don't even really do that.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing here, this is on the transportation. It's just that
right.
update the zoning bylaw to specify allowable and discouraged uses related to the Lamoille Valley Rail Trail.
Oh, interesting.
Discouraged uses?
What would be discouraged uses?
Of what? Roads?
Motorbikes,
no, no. related to the Lamoille Valley Rail Trail. So, I don't know. Don't build a, I don't know what, something right next to the rail trail.
Does it need a buffer?
Well.
Does it need a buffer? Does
what
it
about,
I don't know.
There's a greater demand. In fact, it's on the LVRT Facebook page for camping spots near the rail trail or for restrooms or whichever restaurant.
So is
here.
So is it okay for someone to have a campground when the access is only by the rail trail?
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. That could be actually kind of cool.
It could be cool. Or do we want them to be able to build a 8-foot fence along directly on the property
if
line
they want
on either side of the rail trail to you know
to
their
for privacy?
You know, is that okay?
Or if they like open up a kitchen and want to sell burritos?
Right.
Well,
I don't know.
There is a place over
you know?
That is kind of opening up a grab and go.
I'm sure.
Right adjacent to
people
the trail.
People have a lot
yeah.
of different ways to think about making a little from that. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's. That's,
I'm
kind of
like
there.
It's your property, you know, you do your thing as long
sure.
as it's not disruptive. So.
Right.
But it still has to go through
the regular hoops.
The regular
yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I guess what it means says by 2027, update to specify that, those sort of things.
Mm-hmm. But it's still unclear.
I'm not sure, but it's in there.
And I will say, I know David had mentioned what I was going to add into the mix here too. David had mentioned multiple times he had met somebody who wanted to come talk to us about the Airbnb stuff. And I'm totally willing to listen to anybody. I think he was coming from Mass, he said, which is obviously a whole different ballgame compared to here. But I would also say in the conversation, like I completely see what you're saying, Rob, with regards to affordable housing and making sure it's not, we don't want ideally, at least in my opinion, crazy real estate developers coming in, buying up land and just Airbnb-ing it, But I'm also thinking about people who have a home, who have an opportunity to Airbnb to supplement their income, and they don't want someone there all the time, but they don't want someone there all the time. They might say like one or two weekends a month, 6 months out of the year, where they can't take a person full time. So to me, that's like right now people need to supplement their income. And so that's the piece, like trying to find that line.
On the Calkins camp road, when I was on the DRB years ago, there was an application from a guy who wanted to, it was on the property, it was right next to his house, he wanted kind of an Airbnb, and I think we put in the bylaws, I don't remember, I'll have to look, that it had to be owner-occupied, because you can get people from Massachusetts who own a building up here in Danville, and that's all it's used for.
Yeah, Airbnb. That makes sense.
And I think that's what we object to.
Right. That's huge.
Yeah, I think, and particularly where you're converting what has been a home into it versus, Larrabee, one of the sister. She's got, they built a cute little mini accessory dwelling that she Airbnbs. It's in her front yard. But she's right next to the rail trail.
Oh, wow.
So she rents out, it's her home. She's got that little
space.
She's got that.
And that's
little,
ideal.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. I'm thinking about, and granted, this is a different ballgame, but just like you're saying with the owner occupied, I think is really key. When my son had a big soccer game down in Philly and we go to this apartment building, nobody works there. It's totally just owned by whoever. And you just, go in and you do your thing and it's all just Airbnb and, and obviously on a small scale in Danville, would you want to have a home where nobody lives?
Yeah,
right. And it's,
Right. And
I don't know the answer.
We got some already.
Intuitively, I'm no.
There's a lovely little cake that would have been perfect for
a family.
Family just starting out that is an Airbnb occupied.
In fact, tonight up on Joe's pond up there is a lovely little house right next to where Sam Rose was that my family is an Airbnb.
Yep.
It's a whole house.
Yeah.
And no one lives there otherwise. No. It's just Airbnb. Right. Yeah.
And once again,
it's good to make notes of this stuff so we can really make sure we dive in.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's making the distinctions.
Yes, definitely.
Between what makes fits sense. In and what is
well exactly and think exactly. of the goal is to have affordable housing. So how do we do that and yet not constrain the business?
Right, the reasonable because it's nice to have people coming to visit too. Right,
Allison Lowe and I were just talking today too for a bit just about the fact that granted, I know that at least I've heard multiple times from people no mobile home parks here and. To be a mobile home park, it would be three or more, but then it's again, distinguishing that from little tiny home, space, versus the mobile home thing and what do people envision there or not, because I think that could be done really tastefully too, to create the small, cool, family space.
Right.
I don't know.
It could be more in the definition of a cluster.
Right.
And just done in a really sustainable, thing, just tasteful way where it would allow people to afford a space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, those are a bunch of ideas, goals, visions.
I have three more.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Sorry.
Perfect. No, don't be sorry. That's the
point. Well, just because I don't understand necessarily all of them. One is agricultural overlay district.
Oh, yeah.
With the objective of reducing fragmentation. Yep. I don't know how that works.
Come up.
I don't know what it is.
I mean, it seems the only thing that seems to be happening now is this ability to cluster housing on the periphery of an ag area in exchange for keeping the ag area
open. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the incentive being, you know, you can reduce your lot size and have houses closer together on the periphery of an ag area.
So you can,
but then the ag area has to stay open, and you can't do it. You can't keep doing that on the same piece,
right.
Because otherwise it would be
less land
converted over time.
Right. But you could do one on that space,
right?
Another cluster, yeah.
All right.
And the cluster is that three? Did we know that number?
I don't know any number.
Maybe there's not that,
a it was number. It was
really
a 3 acre.
A function.
The 3 acre gets waived.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it was on that lot owned by Larry Rossi and somebody else, just up above Marty's on the right there behind the cedar trees. Mm-hmm. I think that's where they wanted to. And that's when I was on the DRB that they brought in front of us. And somehow or other financially it fell through. But they still had a very good drawing or a site plan of what it would look like. And I think it had to do with the wastewater.
Mm, oh, they couldn't add on. Right, that is the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a very good concept because it preserved open land and it clustered the houses into cluster. Mm-hmm.
So if we look at cluster housing and increasing, you know, density in the village,
yeah,
part of that is sort of looking at how would that work in, well, no, no, how would it work in the ag region?
Yeah.
It could actually be related, mm-hmm, you know, that if obviously that's a smaller parcel, well, it could be a pasture for certain or whatever, but mm-hmm, it's not, and it hasn't been in a long time.
Right.
So, all right. So maybe that's something we just sort of look at whenever we're looking.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know that's come up a few times, so.
Okay. Second, and then just one more, I promise.
No,
sorry.
It's good.
No, this is great.
Thank you, Judy.
It says, consider obtaining a grant to do a land use evaluation site assessment, LESA, to inform the zoning process. I have no idea what that is. Does anybody
know
what that is?
I don't know who that came from. Can you read it again?
Do a land use evaluation site assessment. This is,
well,
it's an objective criteria developed during the assessment that informs the zoning process.
If someone comes in to sort of give suggestions on specific land,
well,
use scenarios.
Some like physical characteristics of the actual
site.
Slope, soil, right?
I
don't. Yeah.
Apparently you can get grants. I can ask when. Right.
I don't know.
I wonder what it would ultimately offer. I guess just suggestions on
recent
development. Right?
I don't know. Unless that's something that would help, because one of the things in here somewhere we talked about was whether the boundaries of the various, that we should go out and look
districts
and see the various districts, are they where they should be?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
yeah,
it's
yeah,
something
that
would relate
maybe
to
it's
that.
Connected to related to that.
It could be.
Or just substandard soils that don't
put
housing more. Right.
That's hard for
to
put housing
in.
Right.
A lot of attributes that could go into that. But actually, my master's thesis was on the environmental master plan for Vermont Environmental Center.
Oh, my God, really?
Ripton.
Oh, nice.
And what I did was overlays of the attributes of their site. And what was the best place to build? What was the...
you did this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of went to soil types?
So
Rob's not going
soil
anywhere.
All of that. You know?
Sorry, your grandkids can't.
We're hanging on.
But it was really interesting because you can do that with any plot of land. You can look at the attributes and you can overlay on a gradation, and you'll end up with one white spot.
That
and
makes
then
sense.
All the others
and
are dark. And stuff,
yeah.
But this is the place where you build.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
So we could ask. I just looked it up. So it is. It's also for natural resource conservation. So it does have to do with like soil survey,
yeah,
farmland classes, land capability. Yeah.
See, I feel like I wonder if this is going to happen on a state level, because part of 687 that just passed is also about critical resource areas. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there might even be some state sort of, you know, attempt to try to do this critical resource area. So I think we also should wait and see, because that was like the next part of 687. We just did the first part with the bylaws.
Well, unless that also is...
Oh, it's connected
maybe
to that.
To that one. Maybe they're also going to be giving grants
for the towns to do that. I know that most likely. Well, and that's where people are really upset because of the rural part and who's taking a hit, what's going
to
be...
And I can understand it'd be easier for him, for Dennis, to...
To know.
Kind of appraise
right.
an application.
So I think if we just maybe even put a little note, and I don't know what the time frame, I don't think they said what the time frame was on that second part of that bill.
What section
is that wrong?
This was in the land use and development goals of the town plan. It was number four that said planning commission.
Okay.
I don't know if I kind of, I don't know how I did this. Actually, I did this earlier.
No, that's good. And you said you had another
One more. One more was, well, this said, consider adding provisions to the zoning bylaws that regulate wireless telecommunications facilities, or recommending that the select board adopt an ordinance.
I was going to write an ordinance. I actually already started it. Just because of setbacks, I just want, like, the health and safety setbacks.
Well, as we did with
the town plan and the solar panels.
Do we have one for solar panels now?
Yeah. Yeah. The enhanced energy plan.
Yeah.
And there was a few things I wanted to add on to that, just as I'm seeing what's happening in other towns with regards to some of the renewable energy projects, obviously the biomass thing that's going on in the industrial park there, and then also definitely the telecom, because they're also doing a lot more like smaller antenna and telecom, and more and more towns around the country are really trying to be proactive about having proper setbacks from houses and bedrooms, and, you know, if you have a house and the antenna's right there, and, you know, so there is a lot of conversation on that happening. So I'm going to probably run with the ordinance on that. I think I might just do it as an ordinance. Yeah. And do the select.
Well, wouldn't it be better for part of the zoning?
That would be fine, too. Yeah. I remember Glenn was just saying
thinking of the practicality and the logistics of it, because if you have a zoning administrator who reviews all of this, it'd be better for him to have those kind
the
of
guidelines.
Tools,
yeah, guidelines. That's totally fine. I'm open to either. To
versus an ordinance that really is governed by the select board.
So yeah, if I can talk, I'll talk to Dennis about that. That would make sense. Mm-hmm. So I guess we have all have our own little.
Well, it's more efficient. If the individual who's in charge of reviewing zoning applications has maximum understanding of all the constraints involved in reviewing it.
Because I wonder if I could do both and have it that way. I don't know. I'll talk to Dennis about that.
Well, maybe the select board has the ordinance and then the implementation is directed to the zoning administration.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Woodbury. I think it was Woodbury's that I was incredibly impressed with. Absolutely amazing. Okay. So what else, Judy?
The only things are here is it talks about maintaining the design control districts.
Right.
That doesn't take any action, although from what I've heard, feedback is the problem with the design control districts is there's nothing that tells you what design is good and what isn't. Right.
Well, there used to be a lot more deep.
Yeah, it sounds like it is.
I think it's been dropped or something.
Right.
Because, for example, this house down here, I think it's just a little bit beyond the design. I remember it was before the design control district was in. He snuck just under the.
The Greek house again?
Yeah.
It was all in the timing. And he's been
Well, he's doing it himself. He's working hard.
Right.
I know.
It took us 7 years to build our house. Oh my gosh.
I remember when he demolished it.
There is one that also says ensure that permitted and conditional uses are appropriate to the residential areas.
Yeah.
Review and update the zoning bylaw. Mm-hmm. We just did some of that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
At least based on that law.
Right.
Said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't know that.
So it seems like priority wise, you know, we've got our list there with the affordable housing.
The other question I've got, which I don't think is in the town plan, which I get concerned about the Peachum store, for example, mm-hmm. owned by a remote out-of-state owner that they hardly reach, and it's just sitting there rotting.
The one next to the cafe, you mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I worry about that.
The spouse, probably the one that kind of managed it, died, so now it's a widow.
Yeah.
That probably has no idea how to handle.
Well, and for example, this place down here in the corner. He inherited it from his folks. But if you haven't got the money to keep it up, then it just really falls apart. And there's no, you know, so.
There's limits to what you can do.
That's
right.
The limits, right. Yeah. And to cross the line or not. And it's just, you know.
Unless it was considered historical and he could look for a grant.
Well, what you can encourage people, and maybe there are things we can do to encourage people.
Right.
But unless it becomes a health or safety
violation. Like up the road here.
Right. And then you have to enforce it, because in Peachum, they could go, I mean, there are some health issues.
It sounds like it's getting there.
It does.
Where they're going to do action based on... health and safety, and because the fire wardens can be on that,
right?
Yeah, because it's because
now the trees are you know bashed into the roof, and they're worried about electrical stuff, literally.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing I would ask, and thank you guys all for going through all of those pieces. I'm just thinking for our next meeting. We're looking at Thursday. Gosh, is that Thanksgiving? Do we skip that one?
No, that's not
Thanksgiving. Sorry, October. Ooh, I'm ahead of myself. Okay, so October we have.
October's
good. So, And so what about priorities? Do you guys, what do we want to look at there?
I know there was a part of me that was like, do you want to just take off till January? But you're only here till December, and there's plenty.
Yes.
I know. So, I know, because everyone just kind of threw a lot. I mean, I know I jumped in the middle of the place and stuff and the town plan. So there was a part of me that just wanted to throw that out there as we enter into fall and the holidays, but I'm open to whatever.
Well, I'd like to have an agenda where you do things in between meetings and we bring those to the next meeting.
Right.
Actual action.
That's what I don't understand is how, now that we've got
this stuff done.
It was supposed to be kind of overlapping, at least.
I will say that there's definitely still some zoning things that I need to check in with Dennis on. There were a few things that we didn't get to because we basically prioritized some big things that needed to happen in order to push it through for the funding to make sure that all happens. We got
the
reimbursement, place sense.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think there's definitely some of that I can revisit and look back at Dennis's emails and check in with Dennis because I know he still had a few pieces. So that could be something that I do. And then I don't know from a, you know, priority wise as a group, what we want to tackle for that list that we just went through.
And how do we actually do it? I mean, you've got.
That's a good question.
You mentioned one project that you know how to do. But how do we how do we decide how to update the zoning map?
Maybe that's what we do the next time.
If we do, you want to do a zone. I mean, if we did the districts, if we want to look at the districts or the affordable housing conversation,
all of those things.
Right.
How do we actually do it?
Well, what's the process? And maybe Glenn might be able to step in and just kind of inform us as a.
Yeah, and I think ultimately it would be up to us. And then if we want to do the districts, we really need to be in touch with the NBPA. And we need to be in touch with the Regional Planning Commission, which is easy enough.
Would it be good to have Allison being on that meeting?
I wonder if she would want to come do sort of a conversation process. About that, I could reach out
to her. As a representative.
And is there a way other than visiting all the town clerks to see, you know, like... What do other towns have for cluster housing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd have to just decide, you know, who's making the phone calls and checking in. Yeah. But I don't even know if it would be the town clerks. But
yeah,
probably the DRB and the zoning administrators if they have one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where it really is open to us at this point as to what mm-hmm. we want to focus on. I'd be interested in hearing from people. Like, I think if we did have Allison Lowe come in and check in on the MBTA, we can, I can talk to Sacha about, the maps, like if we did want to look at the River Corridor part. So I think it's really what our priorities are. I know David had someone he wanted us to hear from.
Well, the other thing is looking ahead and visualizing. When you look at the map, again, visualizing what you would want that to look like if we had a booming expansion as a result of the LBRT or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some industry moves in like Fairbanks Scales. You know, what would the plan look like? What would, what direction would it expand? Would it expand different districts? I mean, would it just expand right. like an octopus, arms get longer?
Right.
You know, going down a road. That way it is. But, I mean, just to,
right.
To conceptualize what would be the best expansion of the village core, of the village, of the other zones around it. What would be logical? And maybe that includes, a site visit.
Mm-hmm.
So drive around and look at
it. I'm thinking of like the Route 2 district in relation to that, the core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And walkability is a big issue too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at the expanding cores.
Well, yeah, you've got the biking piece, like the LVRT
yeah,
there. There's already decent sidewalks in place, at least within the core area. Yeah.
Well, it's a few missing, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true, true. Yeah.
Actually, it's not our job, but I found it was interesting. One of the goals in here somewhere, in the town plan somewhere, was to make sure there was a walking path between the school and the Loyal Valley Rail Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess down to
I think they got that directly south of the school.
Oh,
they have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It was just earmarked. Your money was just earmarked for shared use path along that stretch.
Oh, that's okay.
Although I don't know what funding.
They had a track meet.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's great.
Engineering. There's been scoping studies done. I think there's additional engineering work to be done.
So that's a good item on our agenda
mm-hmm.
to coordinate with the LVRT what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be good to have some.
You know, John McGuire, it's interesting. John and I were just talking about this because he's been watching the LVRT crew, I think, pretty closely. So I can talk to him. Maybe he want to sort of slide
and
in that way.
Maybe Laurel.
Yeah, because Laurel.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be good to have an individual who was involved in the planning of the LVRT to come in and brief us on what impacts.
So maybe we should have some speakers come in. Maybe we should, I can reach out to some people and just like hear from Regional Planning Commission and some of the mapping.
It's like an inventory stage for the planning commission.
I can talk to David about if he wants to have that person. Maybe we can just line up some of that.
Maybe somebody would be familiar with, you know, what's going on with Airbnb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all I know is what I'm reading, and it seems like about the only thing that's really being done is they move to owner-occupied ones. You know, I don't think then what's happening now would be grandfathered if they weren't, but
mm-hmm.
going forward,
right.
Yeah. I mean, that's about the only kind of level of regulation there seems to be happening.
Right.
That maybe there should be owner-occupied.
That's a big deal.
I mean, I think that makes a difference.
Yeah, I would think it would be.
Yeah.
There's so much property being just bought up for that piece. Yeah. I feel like that would be huge. Yeah.
But the affordability issue is in direct conflict in general with the Airbnb idea.
But maybe just
unless it's on your own land with an accessory dwelling unit. Right. Like and I think that's ideal.
And that's what a lot of people seem to really be doing. Yeah. I mean, that does seem
very
to be
small
the pattern.
Scale. Mm-hmm. It's not a big building.
Just some extra income. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. It's that, yeah. You just want to avoid, and I can remember, was it up in Lennonville or?
Kirby's really, you know, there's one landowner that, I mean, it's just a problem.
Has like oh, two or three houses that.
I haven't heard much lately, but, you know, it wasn't owner occupied. It's all.
A lot of traffic, a lot of
absentee,
parties, a lot of.
Right. End of a road with, you know, other people, and it may not even be class three. I mean, there was just a lot of issues.
Gotcha.
I mean, it was kind of a storm of bad circumstances that really caused trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like we really run into a lot of that again, where there's
well,
like,
exactly.
But
yeah.
That doesn't mean
yeah.
it won't go there at some
right.
point.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where it's like, what steps would we want to take? Mm-hmm. That we can take. So I think the owner occupied.
The owner occupied in the case of Kirby would have limited.
Exactly.
Because the guy wants to expand. I mean, he wants to keep.
And when someone's on the property and they can see what's happening and know what's happening, like they care about their property and there's all of that.
Yeah, you're not going to have as much potential disruption to the neighbors if you're there not getting any sleep either.
Right. And responsible. Right. Okay, so that could be, I think, a pretty straightforward one. And I don't know who's done that. Do we know if other towns have done that? That would be some research we could look into.
Well, when
some of that's
beginning places to ask Dennis.
Yeah, I can reach out to Dennis and ask.
He probably has his ear.
So he works. I didn't realize that he works for other towns.
Four towns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's only here one.
Well, I know
one morning.
Right. Are they all small rural towns, or does he work for a bigger town?
It was Newberry.
Told me once.
Raggy, maybe.
It's within this area.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask him just about his other priorities for the zoning piece. Yeah. I'm going to ask him if he knows of any of the owner-occupied. I'll talk to Allison about trying to see if she can come and just talk to us a little bit about some of the things that came up on our priority list.
David wanted to bring in Airbnb.
Who
is that, David?
It was someone, David Kyle, from our crew here.
He's here sometimes.
Missed the last two, he had said, but prior to that, he had mentioned that person from Mass, which of course I'm hesitant on because it's Mass versus Vermont, but whatever, we'll all learn.
Yeah, I mean, you just see what you're doing.
They probably know the worst case scenario.
Right. And even maybe some guidance on the owner-occupy sort of approach, so. Yeah, so, okay.
One of the things I'm kind of wondering about is, I mean, it's just taking forever to get River Corridor designation. And I think, you know, it seems like if that can come through and you know, then certain buffers are recommended, that then you can start maybe trying to get people to clean up their shit along the riverbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, rural areas are it's all complaint driven. So we can have all these regulations and stuff, but unless somebody, you know, literally complains, people just don't get it. But it seems like if you got a river corridor designation, then maybe, you know, folks could be approached like, you know, you got six cars on the river, and you got garbage in the corridor, and this is the new map. I mean, at some point, we got to go there, and it's not about just do whatever you want anymore. You know, unfortunately, a lot of these places are super, super low income places, but you know, that's not an excuse for having a dump.
No, it isn't.
So,
well, it's just bending over and picking up junk.
And or people accumulate. I mean, people accumulate.
Finding a place
I mean, there's some really serious issues, especially on our North Danville Road going into town. I mean, that's just unacceptable. Yeah. And, you know, it kind of cracks me up because as a farmer, you know, I have to feel really careful because we have a lot of junk around too. I mean, I try and keep it neat, but it's definitely not on the riverbank. And I think people just don't get it, you know, that that's unacceptable.
Well, they probably should by now after seeing the cars and the everything
in Lindenton, where it just goes
down to your neighbor.
But if you wait till that happens and then you've created like a municipal crisis because the stuff is now, you know, against a bridge somewhere, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of too late.
Other thing, very mindful of that, just looking back at history, where Vermont was very independent, like individuals were very independent because of the geology broken up.
Physical space,
So, there was always that expression, I do it my way, and so forth. But at the same time, there's the other extreme. If you have a lot of ordinances, a lot of laws, a lot of agencies involved, that is really not very helpful. I mean, on the train station, we've had 4 agencies involved.
That is true.
More than that.
It is.
And it's amazing the delays and the construction.
Well, that's what I see from somebody who does stuff privately. It's painful. But I mean, I really love the work. I do. But it's kind of painful.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Painfully slow. I've been the point person.
Dealing
We've been the
it.
Point people for that project.
Well, it's definitely a good thing to keep in mind. It's that it's easy to get caught up in this rule.
Be careful.
The result can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting that there should be a whole lot of regulations that then you start suing people for the condition of their property. But at some point, you know, river corridor stuff can be designated, then you can at least have a site visit and say, you know, this really, you're way out of compliance. Can we have a program? It can be more of a neighborly approach to it. But because most other places in the world, I mean, it's by code and you would be sued. Or the town would put a lien on the property, clean it up.
Yeah.
And the person wouldn't be able to deal with it and they'd lose the property. I mean, that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But Southern New England is that all day long, right? So, I mean, I don't expect we would go there.
One other option is increasing the hours of the zoning administrator. So he has more hours to go around and look at places like that and do something about it.
But it just seems without, like, especially the river corridor thing, until we really have a map.
Well, that's
and then
that's
it's true. Got the dwellings, like, you're in, you're out, you know. It's hard to.
So I think that's where that MVBA and then that person, Sacha, I think if we just get some conversation of where are you guys at in your mapping process, and then, you know, what do we need in order to be able to do that? Because those are the next steps. Because when I went to that big regional planning commission, remember we went to that and they were talking about how they were working?
Yes, and it just seemed like it was
in flux.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will check out where that's at and we could sort of just bring that to the table and at least try to learn what that process would be. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it would just be nice to see, you know, a little improvement. I mean, the stream bank thing is really an issue. I mean, it's not good. It's not really getting any better. I mean, look what happened just today. I mean, it doesn't rain for 3 weeks, and it rains 3.5 inches.
I saw my wheels are off.
3.5 inches.
Well,
so that's what it's like now.
Yeah.
So all these places that are kind of like, I put my stuff right on the bank. Well, it's getting to be a problem.
This afternoon, I drove from St. John's right down to Barnet and back up on that road to West Barnet. So, and just looking at the water level.
Yeah.
coming back up. There's flooding happening already.
I mean, I don't even know what Keith is going to do about the North Danville Road. I mean, it gets cut into.
Yeah.
And it's going to be winter in a minute.
Yeah.
And people, you know, it's hard on the plow stuff. I mean, people are going to start falling into, you know, the river. You know, they're cutting in everywhere. I mean,
but
it's
that's
really,
where it seems like, obviously, what we're talking about. Like, some of the things are bubbling to the surface, so we kind of know. I mean, at least hearing this, it's like some things are taking shape for direction. So I feel like I'll try to work and see. Would you guys be open to like a speaker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll try to make that happen.
Have you had any information stage?
Yeah, exactly. And any sort of, obviously, you know, what you guys are talking about, if you want to dive in to do a little bit more research on some of your top priorities and bring anything, you know, for next time, and we'll just see what we can learn. And I'll keep you guys posted on that when I send the agenda once I hear from people, so. So there's anything else on that one? Our goals, vision. Okay. We've had some conversation, no public comment. And I think we're ready to adjourn by consensus, if that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Wow.
Not sure what time it is. It is 8:48.
I mean, I really do try and have empathy because I know people are really low income. There's a lot.